Cara.
Hello, and welcome to the Beacon Group's noon step meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name's Kirsten. I'm an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you're new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you're new or not so new and you're looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you'd worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and had a spiritual experience and you're willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except when the speaker's sharing. Also in the chat, you'll find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. And when you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Joe to read the 12 steps for us today. Joe?
Thank you. I'm Joe. I'm an alcoholic. Step one, we admitted we are powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge for His will and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me read.
Thanks so much. Today we're going to hear us talk on step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Please give a warm welcome to Rich S. from Colts Neck, New Jersey. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you very much, Kirsten. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Rich, and I am grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be sober today. I haven't been on a Zoom meeting for just a little bit, and so I couldn't hear the deafening roar when Kirsten introduced me. I am really, 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 really grateful for Zoom. Who saw a pandemic coming, right? And we saw it come, and I was able to participate on Zoom for a long time. As soon as we were able to get back into the rooms, and as soon as vaccines became available, I started going back into the room. But there were some really, really good. I've heard a lot about this meeting. I've never been to it before. I know I have some friends, Kirsten among them, who attended this meeting regularly back in the Zoom days, in the big Zoom era. And it's great to see people sort of all over the place, all over the country. So it's awesome. So my current sobriety date is February 17th of 2015. I call it my current sobriety date because it's not my first. I certainly hope it'll be my last. And I'll get into that a little bit. As I qualify, I have a sponsor, Tom S. He knows he's my sponsor. I call him every day. We talk every day about what's going on in my life and what's going on in his. And I have a home group. Kirsten's home group here in Colts Neck as well. On Friday nights at 7:30. So if you happen to be in Colts Neck and want to come to Sunlight of the Spirit on a Friday night, we're a speaker discussion. One of the things I love about that group is that we ask people to talk about their spiritual awakening as the result of the 12 steps. And so when I got back 8.5 years ago to the Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I wandered into that meeting, and there was something that was always very attractive about that format. And that's interesting to me, because this is not the first time I've been to Alcoholics Anonymous. The first time I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was 17 years old. It was 1978. I'm not exactly sure whether it was the standing before a judge on three counts of breaking and entering and one count of being on private property with intent to steal, or the fact that after the police left my house one night, I went up into the attic and tried to hang myself. My mom stopped me. But at any rate, my parents called AA and a guy came and picked me up and he took me to a meeting and it was at a church and they talked about God. And I thought I knew what that meant. In fact, I was positive I knew what that meant. And so I was never going back. And I was very unsuccessful at never going back. I did make it for 10 years. I got 5 DUIs in 5 different states in those 10 years. I lost more jobs than I can count. I actually tried to count one time and I just gave up. I can't remember. I would get a job until you paid me. I'd stay until you paid me. And then it was usually over because then I'd go drinking. I never had a problem with the idea that I was an alcoholic. People used to call me an alcoholic. I was like, sure, I get it. Are we drinking? Right. I mean, I kind of wore it as a badge of honor. It's just who I was. It was part of what my makeup. So after I got that fifth DUI in North Carolina in 1988, I went to a rehab 2 days later. I was about to be thrown out of my brother's house where I was staying for free. And, you know, just living off of the good graces of him and his wife and their 2-year-old. And so I went to rehab in Greensboro, North Carolina in September of 1988. And I got out of there. They were a 12-step based rehab, still there, Fellowship Hall. It was a nonprofit. It still is. It was a great facility. I really, really enjoyed it. They took us through the first 5 steps. There, I did a quick, not fearless or thorough inventory and a fifth step there. Then I moved to a halfway house. I lived there for 9 months and I didn't have a drink for 20 years and 4 months. And I did a lot of things. I moved around a lot. I got a college degree. I went to a lot of AA meetings. I chaired a lot of meetings. I sponsored guys. I don't know God's green earth what I shared with them. Because the 12 things that I didn't do in all those years that I didn't have a drink is the 12 steps, as outlined in the big book, first 164 pages in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I stayed dry and I got a lot of stuff. My life got pretty good. I got a college degree and I got a wife and I got 3 kids and I got literally had 3 houses. And then one day, I was on a business trip down to Tampa, Florida, and I was in a casino and I had just lost a little bit of money. I've been going to casinos a lot in those years. And I realize now, you know, why I was doing that. But anyway, I lost a little bit of money, and not much, $60. And I walked over to the bar, and I saw a young woman. I said, "Would you like to have a drink?" And she said, "Sure." And she ordered a soda, a Sprite, and I ordered a vodka and soda. And that drink lasted 6 years. And it didn't take all the external stuff. I am still sitting in the house that I had when I came in. I still had three houses when I showed up at rehab again on February 14th. Still married to the same woman, still have the same three kids. I don't have the job anymore that I had then. They were about to fire me. And my wife woke me up 2 weeks later on Valentine's Day and said, "I'm going to fire you too." She'd had enough. I can't believe that she hung in there for 6 years, but she did. Anyway, so I went drinking that morning because, well, that's what you do. And I had a full bottle of Absolut. And about an hour later, give or take, I was at a bank stealing money from an account she couldn't see. And I came out of that bank and I had my big cup of vodka about halfway through the bottle. And I pulled out the bag of cocaine. And that's kind of when I had my first step moment. That's when I understood that I was powerless. So I knew I was an alcoholic since I was a kid. A buddy of mine said to me one time, I don't know if we were of age or underage, but we were in a bar that I've been drinking at for a long time, underage. And he said, "I don't want to become an alcoholic." And I'm like, dude, that ship has sailed. You know, so I was 17 or 18 years old. I knew I was an alcoholic, but I never understood the powerlessness. So I came back into the rooms. I went to rehab that night on February 14th on Valentine's Day. My wife took me to rehab. My sober date is February 17th because they doped me up for a couple of days. And February 17th is the first day I went without a drink or a drug. And then I sat in rehab and I had no hope because I knew what the deal was, right? They're going to send me to you guys. And you guys are going to say, go get God. And I do not want anything to do with that, right? So I'm the youngest of four, Methodist minister for a dad, very religious mom. I had broken with religion many, many years ago. I don't, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, and they can kind of pinpoint that moment. I don't know when it happened. I know that for me, I hated going to church on Sundays as long as I can remember. And I used to share like it was a big fight every Sunday. And last August, a year ago, I was down with my mom, my 98-year-old mom who had broken six ribs, and I got to be there and help her through that. And I said, "Mom, do you remember all the fights we used to have on Sunday morning?" And she thought about it. And she said, "No, we didn't have any fights." And I realized, like, the fight, there was a big fight every Sunday. It was here. It was in my head. It never came out. But these are the things that I begin to see as I have these conversations and as I begin to see the truth. So anyway, I was very anti-religious, right? The book talks about virulently anti-religious. It talks about contempt prior to investigation. It talks about belligerent denial, and all these words are just perfect for describing how I felt towards religion and spirituality. And the truth is that I didn't really know or care to even investigate, to seek that there was a difference. I remember my counselor in rehab in 88 said, "You know, there's a difference between religion and spirituality." And I'm sure we had some sort of discussion about it, but I was uninterested in figuring it out. So I didn't really seek. I used to argue and debate a lot at meetings and that sort of thing. And I think that at least that was a part of seeking, right? When I was having debates about whether or not there was or isn't a God. But after a few years, even that stopped, right? And so I had to get busy getting my college degree and making money and getting the outside stuff. And I'm sure that will fix it all, which of course it didn't. So I sat in rehab here, not too far away from where I live. And I knew they were going to send me back to AA. And you guys were going to say, get God, second, third steps. And I just had no hope. I just, it was inconceivable to me that I could have a change in perspective, right? A personality change, moral psychology, as the book talks about. And a couple of days, it was two or three, 4 days before I was getting out, we were doing our morning meditation. And in that meditation, which I participated in, by the end of it, for some reason, I was asking God to relieve me of the obsession and compulsion to drink. And I have no idea how that happened. It wasn't my plan. And I thought, God, please relieve me of the obsession and compulsion to drink. And I've said that prayer every day since then, including this morning. And I have not had the obsession or compulsion to drink. I'm not sure. I'm not very good at math, but I think there's some correlation there between what I've asked for and what has happened in my life. And I recognize now that that was sort of the opening of the door to a spiritual awakening. That, in fact, was a spiritual experience of which I would argue with you I was terribly, terribly afraid of and was not possible. I didn't need or want a burning bush. I was afraid of that. I was afraid of what a relationship with a power greater than myself might turn me into. And, but there it was. It happened, right? And I've had many spiritual experiences over the last 8.5 years that have led to a spiritual awakening, primarily as the result of these steps. And so I had a sponsor. We did not go through the steps right out of the gate. He was busy. I was busy. I still had a big job. We didn't get together. We got together a few times and cracked the book, but rarely. We would talk a lot. We met a lot, but we didn't get into the steps. And in this area here, there's about 4 or 5, maybe 6 big book studies where they go through line by line. And I was going to a lot of those, and I really, really started to get uncomfortable because I had not gone through the work. And so at about 13 months sober, I asked a sponsor, a new guy to sponsor me. He's retired. I knew he'd taken guys to the book, and he said yes. And we sat down and we started doing it. And so we get, do some writing on the first step, and then we talked a little bit about what is it that I would like out of a power greater than myself. I did some writing about that in the second step, and then we get to step 3, right? And we get to page 63, and he's reading, and we were now at step 3, right? And I said, hold on a minute, just hold on a minute. And I went into my long diatribe about, I don't even know what I said, but, it was all of my reasoning and my rationale and my intellectual masturbation and dishonesty is what I now see it as. But all of my reasons why there couldn't be a God or I couldn't have access to a God, whatever it was. And after, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, I don't know how, he was a patient guy, how long he let me go, he finally said, can we just read the goddamn prayer? And we did. And we read the prayer. And that was it. Nothing happened. There was no lightning. There was no thunder. I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to swear, but I'm quoting my sponsor. So that's what we did. And then we talked a little bit about it. And he said, do you know what your will is? And I said, not really. He said, well, that's your thoughts. And he said, do you know what your life is? And I said, he said, that's your actions. So we're just making a decision here. And really the decision is to go ahead and go through the rest of the steps. That's the big decision. So are you ready to do that? Are you willing to do that? And I said, okay. And so we said the prayer, and then I got busy writing. He said, let's go. At some point down the road, I don't remember exactly when it was, I added to my morning prayer, please relieve me of the bondage of self. And I know where that comes from, but I didn't know that at the time. It probably took, I don't know, 3, 6 months, something like that, where I realized that I had unconsciously pulled that straight out of the third step, right? To relieve me of the bondage of self. And I really, that was a spiritual experience for me, that to recognize that when I'm in the bondage of self, my own selfishness, self-centeredness, that I am bound up, and whatever, I can't be creative, I can't be open-minded, I'm locked in what it is I think I need and must have, or am going to lose, and you know, whether I'm in fear, whatever happens to be agitating me, that bondage of my own thinking is what causes me great grief, right? And so, you know, every morning I ask to be relieved of that. And some days I do pretty well. And other days, man, I'm bound up, right? I want what I want when I want it. I don't really care about those about me and what their needs may be. And so I try to stay close to Alcoholics Anonymous, to people. I have a good network of friends that I talk with on a regular basis, almost daily. I usually talk to 4 or 5 alcoholics a day. Some who I sponsor and call me, and some who are just friends that I have going through this with. So I just went through the motions, right? I didn't believe that prayer would work, right? I was 100% convinced it wouldn't, because I had never tried it. And that's contempt prior to investigation, right? And so, but once I started doing it, and once I started listening, right, and trying to listen and trying to get some sort of grasp of what's right, and not just stomping through life to try and exert my will, wrest satisfaction out of life, right? My life got better. Things in the external part of my life are not exactly where I'd like them to be today. But I don't know that they ever will, right? What I have found is that I am comfortable in my own skin. And that's something that's never happened to me before. Because I do the best I can at trying to turn my will and my life over to the care of a God that I must say I don't really understand, right? And that was a big stumbling block for me at one point, right? God as we understood him, I thought that meant that I needed to understand him. And for me, it's not a him or a her, it's an it. It's a spirit of the universe. It's a creative intelligence. It's whatever it is. I know what it's not. It's not my old ideas. And that was something that I could not get past in the past, right? My old ideas about what I thought the church wanted me to believe. And I was resistant and defiant towards whatever that was. And I can't even tell you what that was either, right? I just know that I'm so smart, conformity is a 4-letter word, right? And I know that the church and my parents wanted me to conform, and I don't do conformity, right? I don't do discipline and I don't do conformity. I'm going to fight the man. And a lot of good it did me. It got me locked up. It got me, you know, whatever, drunk every time. And so I know that that there's a power greater than myself. I feel it in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I feel it when I'm with another alcoholic sharing our experience, strength, and hope together. I feel it when I'm with my family and I'm participating and not trying to exert my will. And so a couple, I guess maybe 3 years ago now, the craziest thing started to happen to me. And that is that I began to want to participate in the life that I've been given at about 58 years old, 57, 58. I'd always wanted to be over there, right? It didn't matter what over there was, as long as it wasn't here. And it, in Bill's story, and it talks about catapulted and rocketed into the fourth dimension, the here and now, right? I want to be where I am in this moment. I want to be on this meeting. And that was an odd, strange feeling for me, because I always, whether I was drinking or not drinking, sober or dry, whatever, I always was looking for the next thing. And today, I'm grateful that I can stand still, sit still, and be comfortable. And most recently, I've noticed with particular, it's come to my conscious that I have stopped fighting about whether there is or isn't a God, but whether, what does it look like? What is it? And that was such a driving force in my sobriety always, is this trying to figure it out thing. And my first sponsor, one of the great gifts he gave me, right, was figuring it out is not one of AA's slogans. There's they figured it out, Bill and Bob and 98 others, and they wrote it down. They gave us the directions. But I always needed to sort of think that I had to think my way through it and figure it out. And one of the greatest gifts I've gotten here recently is that I'm not trying to figure out what this God is for me. There's great freedom in that for me. I know that it exists. I accept that when I am focused on what is it that I can do for others and what is God's will for me, which I don't know, right? But I'm trying to do the next right thing, that that I have ceased fighting, right? And that's one of the 10th step promises. We've ceased fighting everyone and anything. And a good friend of mine, we talk every day. He called me. He's been sober now, I guess November will be 4 years. He called me a couple of years ago and he said, I think I can talk to you about this. I'm sure I can. He said, do you ever think all this stuff that we're thinking in AA is crazy? It's just nonsense. And I'm like, dude, every day, every day. And then I look at what my life is like today, because I've had that change in perspective about spirituality versus what it used to be. And I stop arguing and fighting, right? And a good friend of mine said, she thought that willingness meant try harder. And for her, it means resist less. And I love that. I don't know that I ever believed that willingness was sort of, you know, nose to the grindstone thing. But I know that the resistance that I have had towards spirituality, towards the word God or any spiritual terms, the capitalization of he and him used to, I would have a physical reaction to that. It would make me angry. I never really asked myself, honestly, what any of these things mean to me. And that's been a part of this process, the letting go of old ideas. And I know that today my life is it's so different, and I'm so grateful for how things are that I just I struggle to put words to it, right? There's all kinds of craziness going on in my life with my kids and my wife and the house, and we're trying to sell this, and we're doing, you know, all this external stuff is going on. It's been a really interesting, difficult summer that included my 98-year-old mom dying. But this program, the God of my understanding, we had amazing, interesting discussions together before she went. And she was ready. And we talked about that openly. We talked about she was on an incredible spiritual journey herself. And we had these discussions together. And I was able to be there, right? I was able to be present. And so I have been able to show up in ways that I didn't think were possible, and make mistakes and screw up and need to go and make amends. The keystone, right, is I go back and I have this conversation often with my sponsor. Where is God in that, right? Where, and what that means to me today is, what is your relationship? God's in it. The question is whether or not I'm willing to see it and to try and pause and take a second and get that sense of what is right and how I need to respond rather than react. Are there things I need to do? And what do I need to take care of? And it's unquestionably because of that third step that I have stopped fighting and been willing to go ahead and trust that if I show up and do the next right thing, that things are going to turn out okay. And in fact, most likely much better than anything that I could have planned or designed, as has been true for my life. And so with that, I want to thank you all for allowing me to share. Appreciate it.